Hi, this is Pastor Roger. I'm glad that you're able to spend some time with me today. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about we're living in a time like no other. The coronavirus, COVID-19, has affected virtually every person on this planet. Many of us, even though we have no symptoms, we've adopted new lifestyles. We talk about the new norms. It involves a degree of isolation that we've never before experienced, and especially on such a massive scale. We've been advised to shelter in place, wash our hands constantly, practice social distancing. We've heard that term constantly. Must be a term created for this very time in history. But I can show you in the scripture where there was social distancing as well. And we'll talk about that a little later. The isolation that this pandemic has brought certainly has brought loneliness to many people. And as Christians, we lift up one another and we bear one another's burdens. The church has demonstrated in the past that when trouble comes, we try to encourage one another and pray for one another. In the second, third, and sixth centuries, the world experienced terrible plagues. Millions died. Christians risked their lives to help those who couldn't help themselves. And often the elderly and widows were left to die. Christians stepped in when no one else dared to comfort and provide the hope that comes from having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There are times in the course of history when the Lord wants to get the world's attention to show us how fragile life really is and that we really have no promise of tomorrow. And I believe this is one of those times. We do, however, have the promise of eternal life through a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our peace. He is our hope. He is our future. And that is the message that we are proclaiming with every opportunity that he gives us. Heavenly Father, I ask now that you will prepare the hearts of those who will be listening to this message today. And I pray, Lord, if they're lonely, I pray that they may sense your presence in their life. If they don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will invite you to come and live in their hearts. And so they will have some help with the time of loneliness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Black Death, I'm going to talk about a little bit of history. I remember bits and pieces of this when I was in high school. So I'd like to start the message with just a brief history of the Black Plague. What does the Bible say concerning disease is really the title of my message today. The Black Death arrived in Europe in October of 1347. It resulted in the deaths of an estimated 20 million people. And over the next 5 years to come, approximately one half of Europe's population would be lost to this terrible plague. The plague arrived in Europe with 12 merchants docked with their ships at the Sicilian port of Messina. After a long journey through the Black Sea, as the people gathered around the docks, they were shocked to discover that most of the sailors aboard the ships were dead, and those that were still alive were seriously ill. They were covered in black boils. Sicilian authorities hastily ordered the death ships to exit the harbor, but it was too late. Prior to the arrival of these death ships, many Europeans heard rumors that a deadly pestilence was spreading across the commercial trade routes. Europeans were not prepared for this deadly pandemic. It was written how it began in both men and women with certain swellings, either in the groin or under the armpits, some of which grew to the size of a normal apple, others to the size of an egg. The people referred to the boils as bubonii, and in modern English, hence the source of the modern term, bubonic plague. Many believed the Black Death was a sign heralding the second coming of Christ and the end of the world. Some believed that Black Death indicated God's displeasure with humanity and was a divine retribution for their sins. So consequently, some resorted to extreme cases of eccentricism and cleanse themselves of sin, trying to cleanse themselves of sin, trying to merit God's forgiveness. Many of them tried to avert God's punishment by stripping to the waist and flogging themselves with whips as they wandered from town to town. Jews were said to have poisoned the whales, and they were falsely accused of causing the plague. So many Jewish communities in Europe were decimated in hopes of ending this plague. Rats were infested with fleas. They helped to spread the disease. They were hosts to this deadly bacterium. Rodents were regular passengers on ships as well as commonplace in cities and towns. The disease spread through the Mediterranean and through Europe. At the time, no one knew exactly how the Black Death was transmitted from one person to another, and no one knew how to prevent or how to cure. So how did the plague end? There are several factors thought to have ended this Black Death, such as better hygiene. The most important response was for people to quarantine themselves. The novel coronavirus disease, COVID-19, has made the word quarantine common speech today. Quarantine intends to restrict the movement of people to prevent the spread of the disease. The term quarantine was derived from the Italian, meaning 40 days, and it's traced to the 14th century when a city now in Croatia was under Venetian rule. As the Black Plague was devastating Europe, the Venetians recognized the need to assert some form of protection, and thus they declared all people and ships to be isolated for 40 days prior to entering the city. The novel coronavirus began in China, and whether the virus escaped from a bioresearch lab or arose in a filthy street market that sold wild animals for cuisine is unknown. What is important to know is what the Bible has to say about disease. Since ancient times, societies have used different strategies to isolate persons with disease from those uninfected. And some of the earliest references to these are found in the books of the Old Testament, Leviticus and Numbers. Concerning skin disease, we can find that in Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 46, which commands, "He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Concerning defilement, the book of Numbers chapter 5 and 2 prescribes the following. "Command the sons of Israel that they send away from the camp every leper, everyone having a discharge, and everyone who is unclean because of a dead person." And so let's look at God's remedy for disease. Leprosy was one of the most horrendous diseases that we find in the Bible. There was disfiguration and much pain. Those who contracted it were shunned and forbidden to live in communities with their own people. Leprosy was one of the most contagious and debilitating diseases that we find in the scriptures. All diseases are a continual reminder of how the world has changed since God pronounced a curse upon the earth. To protect his people from disease, God revealed preventative measures against its spread. The Jewish priests were not physicians, but they acted as public health officials. The Levitical system prescribed laws and commands that priests would institute, including testing for leprosy, quarantining those who contracted this intensely communicable disease. The Mosaic law revealed how to identify and treat skin diseases in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 2 through 8. Starting with verse 2, when an abnormally noticeable blemish appeared on a person's skin, he or she would have to be brought to Aaron or the officiating priest for examination. Verse 3, the priest would then examine the person to determine if he or she was ceremonial unclean. An infectious disease was characterized by the hair in the infection turning white and the infection being deeper than the skin of the body. If the priest could not determine whether the infection required cleansing, the person was quarantined for a period of time until the proper diagnosis could be made. If the infection spread on the skin, it was regarded as disease and that person was declared unclean. An infected person would then wear torn clothes, cover his or her face, and cry, "Unclean, unclean," so unsuspecting persons could avoid the contagious individual. Verse 45. Quarantine was the first response to an infected person. Verse 4. If all skin diseases could not be determined initially, so that there would be an additional 7-day period was necessary before they could make a final decision. Verse 5, and individuals who definitely contracted a skin disease were separated from the community, and he or she was unclean and would remain in that condition for the duration of the infection. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Material items such as a cloth or leather garments were treated in very much the same manner as the people were. The priest quarantined the clothes for 7 days. It was required for them to be burnt if the mark had spread into the garment. Responding to COVID-19, as you would hear this, as we all have heard this many times, all of us are urged to wash our hands frequently with soap and water as one of the most effective measures to avert this spread of COVID-19. People are asked to self-quarantine. Social distancing is also a wise response since no one knows who has contracted this virus. And even those of us who have shown no symptoms whatsoever can also help spread this COVID-19. The Bible reveals the sensible nature of physical cleanliness and quarantining. In the book of Leviticus, chapters 11 through 15, you can find this information. So now I'd like to share with you what is one of the greatest viruses, one of the most greatest diseases that has ever hit the shores of this planet. It infected every man, woman, and child. It's found in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden after they've eaten of the forbidden tree that God told them they were not to eat of. And so they were banished from the garden. God drove the man out, verse 24, Genesis chapter 3, and they had to live outside the camp. They never was allowed to go back to the Garden of Eden. And so they've continued to live outside the camp. Proper response to COVID-19 through cleanliness and quarantine is biblically and certainly wise. I'd like to read a passage in the book of Luke, chapter 17, where Jesus was confronted with a leper. There we read in verse 11, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." That speaks of social distancing. How far was afar off? They were to stay 100 paces away. In the scripture, a pace was considered a stride, as far as you could, your legs in a normal walk, which would be about 2.5 feet. Then in Roman times, Roman rule, they made the pace 2 strides, which amounted to 5 feet. So distance was anywhere from 200 to 500 feet. That was the social distancing that was practiced among the lepers of Jesus' day. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Jesus criticized the scribes and the Pharisees For being clean on the outside, yet being inwardly corrupt, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 through 28. Ultimately, all of the sacrificial rituals anticipate the death of Jesus Christ, who fulfilled Isaiah 53, when he bore human grief, sorrows, and iniquities in his own body on the cross, so that all who trust in him by grace through faith die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds is the believer healed from the sickness of sin, 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus will return one day, and he will transform creation, freeing it from all the effects and miseries of sin, making it more glorious than it ever was before. The promise of a new creation is one which there is no death or decay, certainly no diseases like COVID-19. The contamination of this present age is a perpetual reminder of sin's effects in this world, and the encouragement that the world to come will not be like this present one. Until that time of restoration, God's people should anticipate the hope of the Lord's promise and patiently endure present sufferings with perseverance. I trust that in the midst of the uncertainty of this coronavirus that is brought into this world, that you have found rest in the promises of God. He will never leave us or forsake us. And we live in the light of the blessed hope of our Savior's return, which will banish all sickness and disease. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, which is sure and steadfast. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to share your precious word today. I pray that this word has somehow touched many today. I pray, Father, if they're without you and they don't know you as Lord and Savior, they'll pray this little prayer. Father, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come and live in my heart. I want to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hope you were able to pray that prayer today. Lord bless you.